Please open your Bible to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. And I'm going to read this first verse out of the New King James. However, the rest of the sermon I'm just going to refer to the NIV. But I like the way the New King James does say this one specific verse. So Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the title of this message is The Hearing of Faith. Lord, we open our hearts now because from you comes the word of life. And we ask now that both the hearing and the speaking of your word would be powerful, and that you would bring success for your name's sake to the preaching of the word of God today. We receive the changing power of your word. We receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Paul says to the church in Galatia, "Did you receive the Spirit of God from the law or from the hearing of faith?" And the Spirit of God never comes by the receiving of the law or doctrine, not even sound doctrine, because the law is sound doctrine. But faith releases the Spirit of God. It's not just faith, but it's the hearing of faith. As we've been going through our series in the book of Revelation, we found the seven letters to the seven churches all end with, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." This is what I'm speaking to you about today: learning to hear in the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that man doesn't live by bread alone, correct? But by what? It doesn't just say, but by one word that comes from the mouth of God. It says that you receive life, that you live by every word. It's every word that you need. You need a word today, and this afternoon you need to hear God again. And tonight you need to hear God again. You need the every word principle in your life. It's not good enough for you to say 20 years ago God spoke to you and you had a powerful thing happen. You need the ongoing manna from the Lord, just like in the wilderness when the Lord fed the children of Israel. This beautiful bread was there every morning when they woke. And he said, but you need a new supply every day. In fact, yesterday's will go moldy. It'll go wormy. And you need a fresh word of God today. There's so many different places and ways that you need God's word. You need God's word for comfort in your life. You need God's word for protection over your life. You need God's word for direction in your life. You need God's word for wisdom in your life. You need God's word so that you'll know what your life's all about, for the call of God in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we open our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today that will change us and move through us. And Lord, I just add another prayer now and ask for such a move in the quickening of our hearts and in our ears. We ask it now in Jesus' name. See, every disciple, their walk with the Lord is conditional upon their ability to hear God. There are so many Christians who say, "God doesn't speak to me." And I would say, yes, he does. Unless there's sin in your life, or you're walking in disobedience, or if you're very proud, because God does resist the proud after all. But nobody in this church could be accused of any of those things. So it must be people from some other church. But here, You are disciples of the living God. People who say with all my heart, I want to serve the Lord. I want to walk with Him. Then you have to learn to listen. I'm excited about Dorothy and Lydia going to different nations on the mission field this week. They will be listening to God more than average, more than a normal week, because they'll realize that they have a moment of time, a strategic opportunity, and they need to hear from God and respond to what the Lord says to them. Now, I want to hand something out to you. If I could have a few of the ushers up here, maybe four ushers could come up. And this is really not my sermon. It's just I need to share this with you as kind of an introductory step. And these are eight ways to hear from God. And I've spoken before on this subject, so I'm not going to highlight these except to read them off to you. God speaks in many, many ways, doesn't He? In fact, today, God is speaking so profoundly. There have been times in history when the Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare, and even visions and dreams were seldom. But these days, it's like we have a word of God explosion, and I'm not talking about what comes over television. I'm talking about a personal word of God to you. God is speaking so powerfully and so clearly to His people in these days. This is a day for the release of the word of God. People who never have dreams are starting to have glory dreams and apocalyptic dreams and instructional dreams and all kinds of warning dreams. They're having dreams that are just amazing, intercessory dreams. And God is beginning to move everything up to a new level of speaking to us. So if you don't have your radar turned on, I encourage you to flick it on today and to keep it on, even in the night, to say, Lord, here I am. What is the word of the Lord for me today? So here are eight ways that God speaks. And I'll just read them to you. He speaks in a still small voice. He speaks through the scriptures. He speaks through signs and wonders. He speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through visiting angels, often in your dreams. He speaks through circumstances. God ordains circumstances. He speaks through prophets and ministers. And He speaks through the audible voice of God. And these are all ways that have been seen in the scriptures and in my own personal life that God has spoken to me in these ways. And so He can come to you in the most unusual kind of way. He'll take you by surprise by how He will speak to you. I've had God speak to me through a license plate where I've said, Lord, what would you have me to do? How will I know what to do? And I looked down at the license plate in front of me and it said AM82 or 28. And I pulled the car over and I took the Bible out of my glove box and read Amos 2:8. And it was the answer to the question that I was bringing before the Lord. I've been driving down the highway and said, Lord, I don't know what the answer is to this situation. Will you speak to me? And a big semi-truck drives by with some kind of advertising on the sign that's just exactly what the Lord wants me to see. It's amazing that the God who put a coin in the mouth of a fish so that the disciples and Jesus could pay their taxes can also bring a word, it seems, out of the air to give to you at the moment of your need. And most of you today are looking for a word from God. that makes you a disciple. And the Lord, He keeps it that way. He purposely keeps it that way where you have to seek Him and you have to hear from Him. But you will not just get words of God by going to a Bible school or by studying alone or by listening to preachers. God may speak to you through all of those ways. He might even speak to you through me today. Imagine that. But it will come through the hearing of faith. There's a little button inside of you that's called the faith button. And some of you haven't pushed it yet. You haven't said, "Lord, here I am. I'm ready to hear from you." Those who don't have the faith button pushed, they say, "Oh, that was just circumstances. Oh, that was just a fluke. Oh, that was just my imagination." But those who have the faith button and they've pushed it, they're the people who see God and hear God every turn of the road. It's like that their day's journey, never mind their life journey, their day's journey is directed by the very Word of God. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Do you know when Jesus speaks that word? It's when He is in the wilderness and the devil is trying to tempt Him to sin and trying to discourage Him, trying to get in the way to stop Him, because from this place He's going to move into the beginning of His ministry. And it's at times like that, when you're being attacked, when everything is coming against you, that the Holy Spirit of God may suddenly come and begin to speak to you. And He will often speak to you and give you a word that's got nothing to do with your suffering. How dare God do that? Here you are going through it, and He comes to you and says, "Oh, by the way, I want you to go and preach to the neighbors." You say, "But Lord, I'm in the crucible of difficulty and pain." He says, yeah, but go and speak to the neighbors. This is so commonplace in the Scripture. And it's actually the roadway to your healing. So the Word of the Lord comes to us in many different ways. And the faith, the ability to grow these huge elephant ears, to say, "Lord, here I am. I'm listening. Speak to me." And then don't be surprised by the unusual way that He will speak to you, which is different from any kind of way that He might have spoken to you before, or that He spoke to any other person. He just has a way of personalizing His word to you. Now, I want to speak to you this morning about five times that God speaks in our lives. Five is the number for grace, and certainly it's God's grace when He speaks to us. If God's speaking to you often, you're a rich person. And if you are spiritually deaf, today you need hands laid on you and you need a resurrection from the dead. Because you only live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And without it, you are aimless without the Word of God. So here are the five times that God speaks. I don't mean He only speaks to you five times. I mean, these are five different types of the way that God speaks to us. He speaks to us to lead us. I call it the lead. The Holy Spirit lead. And we're going to talk about that. And then He speaks wisdom, the word of wisdom to you. He gives you wisdom for every situation. The more manly the more a man of God or a woman of God you are, there should be more wisdom flowing through you. Some of you who are not yet wise need to spend more time in the presence of God. But that's people from other churches, not people from this church. And then there is when God speaks and the call of God comes. He calls you not just to your life's mission, but also to your daily mission or to your seasonal mission. Some of you are in the middle of a seasonal mission because God has given you a word. And then there is the time when God speaks comfort to you, because you need to be comforted. In fact, the Holy Spirit is both our teacher and our comforter. And when you're really having a wonderful time in life, you might say to yourself, I don't understand why all those other people are going through it and why they're always, you know, whining and whinging as if life is terrible. Life's wonderful. Until 6 months down the road, and you're doing a little whinging and whining yourself because you got beat up too many times and you don't understand why it came, but it just comes. And when it does, you need the word of the Lord to comfort you. And then there is the time when God speaks with a shout. And that's when he's going to rescue you. And that's when he's coming to blow the evil away. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the trumpet of God, and with the archangel. And that's when he's coming to destroy evil and the works of darkness. And sometimes when you're at the bottom of the dungeon, you need the Holy Spirit to come and shout and scare all the rats away. Well, let's look at these each individually. The first one, I call it the lead. It's to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. That's not today. That's in Samuel's day. The word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Did you realize that? They found a little spot out of the way for Samuel to sleep, and it was near the ark of the covenant, the ark of God, the presence of God. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli, this old priest, said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He's just a child. He might be 7 years of age at this time. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Some of you in this room might be in the same place that this boy Samuel is in. The word of the Lord hasn't been revealed to you yet. And you don't recognize his voice when he speaks. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle." So you see, this charismatic tingling is actually quite spiritual. In fact, if the Holy Spirit comes and starts to speak to you, it's proper to have goosebumps. It's appropriate for you to feel, ooh. It is. And here is this boy. And I'm speaking to you about learning to hear the lead of the Holy Spirit. You have to get a sensitivity. Let me tell you how I study to preach the word of the Lord. I am very unconventional. I read the word regularly. In fact, some weeks I will read more than 1,000 verses of scripture in a week. But when I read the word of God, when I study, I'm looking for the hearing of faith. I want to hear God speak to me. I don't want to just have the word of God, which is instructional to teach you how to live, but I want the voice of God coming through the verse. I want God to personalize something to me and catch my attention. So I'm looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I can read all of those verses and at the end of it say, "That was very nice," and not have God speak to me in that personal way. And then I can go outside and see a butterfly and God speaks to me. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now listen carefully. This is so important. When you're studying, if you're going to be a preacher of the gospel, remember it's my heart to teach you and train you. In your walk with the Lord, there will be something in a day that's like a spark. It might not be an entire forest fire, just a spark. It's like God sparked something. And you said, whoa, it kind of caught your attention. And it could come from looking at a bird or something that a child says to you. It can come in the most unusual way, but what is in it is a life flow. All of a sudden you feel something that refreshes you or touches you. Always follow the life flow. As a preacher of the gospel, that little tiny thing that came to me that had the life of God in it, I write it down. It might be just half a sentence about the beauty of the Lord or the glory of the Lord, but it's kind of like, it's got life in it for me right now. There's something in it that's like magic. And then when I go to study, I review that. I say, "Lord, what about this word? What about it?" And then the Holy Spirit will show me, remind me some verses that are about the beauty of the Lord. And I'll look them up and I'll go and I'll read about the beauty of the Lord. And what am I looking for? I'm looking for more sparks. I'm looking for more of the Holy Spirit. This is the leading of the... I have the hearing of faith going on. Just this past weekend, Joy and I went up to be with Margaret and Art Enns, who is the mother and father of Pastor Jesse. And you know, she is in a place where she is suffering from cancer. And the doctors don't give her much hope at all. And so we went there to pray for her. And we talked quite a bit and have good fellowship because we've known them since the early 80s. And then I said, "Now I want to pray for you, Margaret." And I just went up there and laid my hands on her. As soon as my hands came on her, I saw the power of the Holy Spirit come. And she immediately started to weep. Just at that moment. And I shared with her how that when Jesus came to the home of Peter's mother-in-law, he didn't even speak. He said, and when Jesus touched her, she was immediately healed and got up and served. He didn't even pray over her. He just touched her. And as I was going into the house, I said, Lord, will you touch her when I touch her? And the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her. And then I started to be led of the Holy Spirit. What am I looking for when I'm praying for somebody? I'm looking for the hearing of faith, for the spark of life. And I started to break judgments off her and every evil word that was spoken against her and the spirit of witchcraft which had come against her from generations past that had come against her family. And I broke some generational curses off her life. And as soon as I did that, she just broke loose. It was like the dam burst. And all of a sudden, she began to weep and weep and weep. And then I went on to pray some nice things. And the weeping stopped. And after a little while, we concluded our prayers, and it was very powerful and very wonderful. And then she said, do you know when you said those things to me? I don't want to go into any of the details of her personal story. But she said, when you touched that judgment and that curse, she said, immediately something came to me. And that's why I cried. Because immediately I knew there was a connect there with something from my past. And she shared it with us. And she said, do you think we should go back and pray there? I said, absolutely. That's exactly what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit and to follow the word, the lead of the Lord. You go where the fire is. You go where the leading is, where God is moving. So when you pray for people, you don't use the same words every time. You don't go down the same pathway. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit, because if you follow this road of being led by the Holy Spirit, it leads to miracles. It leads to the power of God. It leads to God giving you keys that unlock doors and set prisoners free. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we went back and prayed over that specific area. So when you're studying, study like that. When you're praying, pray like that. When you're living, live like that. So that's what I call the word of the Lord that leads you. One time when God will speak to you is a leading word. And learn to see the fire and to feel the river of God. However God brings it to you, you'll recognize a life flow. And start to move in that direction, and more will come. The second way that, or time that God speaks, is the word of wisdom. He speaks through us in wisdom. And we go to the book of James, chapter 3, and we read about the wisdom of the Lord in verse 17. James 3, verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, the peace of God in your life will come when you receive God's word of wisdom. Whatever the situation is, whatever the mountain is in front of you, or the difficulty you might be facing that might be tearing away inside of you, it might be concerns or fears for your health or for your future or for finances. But when God gives you the word of wisdom that you need, it'll bring peace to you. For the word of the Lord that comes from above is called the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom that comes from the Lord is first of all pure. When God speaks to you, see, there's three voices that could speak inside of you. The devil could speak with blasphemy or outright trickery that even a first grader could know. That's a trick from the devil. Sometimes he's so blatant in his darkness. But he can speak a word of temptation just like he spoke a word to Jesus, a word of temptation. Then there's the other voice inside of you That's your flesh. That's the lawyer. The lawyer always makes an excuse for everything. Always backs up to a safe and comfortable place. The lawyer always negotiates. If you've got lots of negotiating going on inside of you, you might need a spiritual overhaul today. You might be having more of your own intellect and your own reasoning than the word of the Lord. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Remember, I'm your friend. So if I just stepped on your toe, it's because it's sticking out too far. And then there's the other voice, and it's the voice of God inside of you. And that voice is just a yes and amen. It is so clear. It's so pure. It's so right. And when the wisdom of God comes from above, it settles everything. There's peace there. And if God gives you a word, don't second guess it. Hold on to it. So the first time that God will speak is the leading of the Spirit. The second time is when He gives you wisdom. Of course, all the times when God speaks, it needs to be tested, doesn't it? Because you are not a perfect receptacle. You have a set of glasses and a hearing aid. And sometimes your hearing aid's not working as good as it should. And you can be mistaken because of your emotions, because too many prophets have interfered, because too many sounds have come. That's why Jesus went away alone up into the mountain to pray. Sometimes you just have to get away from people. I'm a social person. I love people. You know I love people. But there's times when I have to say, Lord Jesus, let me get away from them so I can hear God clearly. So there is the lead voice, and that is the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the wisdom voice. And then there's the call of God. And we go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Please turn there with me. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. And here we read about Elijah in the cave. It says, there he went into a cave and spent the night. And verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Then when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm having a pity party. What else? In verse 15, we read, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. So here is what I told you earlier. The man of God has just fought this huge spiritual battle and killed the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Ashtoreth. He had called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. And when God answered by fire, the power of God came, rain returned. But Jezebel, the witch, came after him to kill him. Sometimes it's right after you do something great and powerful and wonderful that all hell breaks loose against you. And he cowered and went and hid in the cave. because, not just because he was afraid of Jezebel, but because he didn't know what to do. His marching orders had finished. The man or woman of God has to have direction in their life. Sometimes when people aren't at church here, and I wonder, where have they gone? Where have all the flowers gone? And I say, where have they all gone, Lord? And you know, it's taken me a long time to get to this place. But the Lord says, well, there's all different kinds of reasons. But one of the reasons is because they're looking for an assignment. It's true. Sometimes people don't show up at church because they're saying, Lord, I need to be used by you. So me as a pastor, remember I shared with you the other night about that demon of rejection that I prayed over and it died in front of me? So it's things like that that God helps me. But for you, the call of God is so important. And it's not when you want it to come. The call of God will not come on your life when you think it is convenient. He does not call you at a convenient moment. He calls you at His time and at His moment. And it cuts right across all of your feelings and emotions. It's rude. The call of God is rude. I tell you that they say the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. Well, sometimes He's not. And He says, now I want you to go. It's like Elijah coming to Elisha. And he just goes past him. The man is a manager over this huge production with 12 yoke of oxen. A huge farm. He's in the middle of his success in the youth and prime of his age. And Elijah comes and just takes his mantle and he puts it over him and pulls it off and walks away. And Elisha goes, whoa! And he realizes without a word being said that he's just been called by God. He follows that mantle until God gives it to him. The end of the story of Elijah's life, he gives him that mantle. And when Elisha picks it up and he goes to the river, he says, where is the God of Elijah? And the waters go, and all the prophets from Jericho say, look at that. The spirit of Elijah is now resting on Elisha. But it begins at an inappropriate, rude manner. The word of God to you will cut across your program, cut across your business, cut across all the niceties of your family. You can be even going through the worst time in your life, and God will call you to be a minister of the gospel. How rude! So don't think like those people who are not saved yet, who keep saying, when I get my life together, I'm going to give my life to God. They say, I know that God's the right way to go, and, you know, my life's a real mess right now, and when I get all my life together, then I will follow God. And you say, of course, you can't do that. You got to give your life to God so He can fix you up so you can serve Him. Well, it's like that with the call of God on your life. The Word of God will come, especially if you're a wonderful disciple businessman, a disciple of God housewife, a disciple of God school teacher. And then at a moment, sometimes when you're all beat up, the Holy Spirit will come to you at that time and tell you to do something very, very radical. That's why you really have to test the Word of God so that you don't do something crazy because of my message. So the Word of the Lord can lead you. He speaks to you and leads you. The Word of the Lord comes with words of wisdom that settles every issue. The Word of the Lord comes often out of times of trouble and calls you into the ministry for a day or for your life. And then the word of the Lord comes to comfort you. And I want you to come with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Because you know, Jeremiah the prophet was just a boy. They say he was 12 years of age when the word of the Lord came to him. And so if God can do it with somebody who's 12, he can do it with somebody who's 82. I've said it to you many times, most heroes in the Bible are senior citizens. But in this case, it was a child. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Of course, this is also a call of God. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child, probably 12 years of age. But the Lord said to him, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. So here was a 12-year-old who became frightened. I remember the first time I preached the gospel to an adult congregation. I was 15 years of age. And I was a youth pastor. It's a big story. But they asked the youth pastors to speak at the General Conference for Canada, where all the pastors and ministers had come together from across the nation. And they had four youth pastors. All the other youth pastors were in their 20s, the 30s, and 40s. I was 15. And I was the opening speaker. And each was given 15 minutes. And I was so frightened. I'd never spoken a message in front of adults before. But I had been called to the ministry and started a youth group just 6 months before. And it had grown from 5 people to about 30 by that time, with kids getting saved from the high school. So I was given at least 5 weeks to prepare for this sermon. And I studied and studied and studied, and I followed that little bit of life, that spark, and it was really great. And for the first week that I studied it, it was a message on love. It was so powerful, it was just moving in me. But the second week I went to study it and review it, it was dying by the minute. It was like it was really true, but there was nothing surprising or exciting about it anymore. And by the time it came to the night that I was to preach, the message had become so stale that it was like, I won't tell you what it was like. It was really stale. And I remember coming home from school. I was to preach that night at 7:30 in a town an hour away. My dad would be driving me. I got home at 4 o'clock. I took my notes. I looked at them. And I said, God, there's nothing of life in this anymore. And I ripped them up. And then I cried. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, unless you speak to me, I've got nothing to give. I can't just preach a homily. I need the word of the Lord. And I opened up my Bible after weeping and praying for 10 minutes. And actually, I opened up to the book of Jeremiah. But not to this verse, but to one in later chapters where it says the prophet Jeremiah went down to the potter's house. And he saw the potter making a vessel on his wheel. And the Lord said, oh, prophet of the Lord, this is like the house of Israel. A vessel made for the purposes of God, but now has become broken and is leaking and holds water no more. Therefore, prophesy and say that God will make this piece of clay a second time and form it again on his wheel until it becomes a vessel fit for the glory of God. And I just looked at this verse. I wrote down so quickly. I said, God, please slow down a little bit. I cannot write quick enough. In 15 minutes, the whole sermon was there. I got in the car and went. Here's all these pastors and church workers. And I preached this message in 15 minutes. And there were three other guys who were supposed to preach after me. But I said, who would like to respond to this message? The whole place stood to their feet. Every pastor ran to the front and began weeping and crying out to God and repenting. And I thought, fear is very real. And some fears are legitimate. Some of them are just your own frailty. And some fears are actually demonic misappropriations against you. But whatever the fear, you need a word from God when you are afraid. And when God speaks his word to you, then the fear will go. I remember the first time I was going behind the Iron Curtain to preach the gospel. It was 30 years ago. And I was on my way to get my passport picture taken. And in the car, suddenly a spirit of fear came on me. And I realized I might not come back. I'm going to preach the gospel and smuggle some Bibles in behind the Iron Curtain. And I thought, all of a sudden, my wife, my little children, I may never see them again. And this fear came over me. It was so real. And I immediately recognized that was just a demonic thing from the devil. And I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. I said, you demon of fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Then I said, now, Lord, I give my life to you. I am not only willing to go and preach the gospel, but also to die for the sake of the gospel if needs be. And concerning my wife and children, Lord, I never want to be irresponsible, but I know that they're in your hands and you will care for them. And Satan, you are not stopping me because of fear. And it was just that instant the word of the Lord spoke to me. And when his word came, the fear evaporated. And I began singing a victory song. Lastly, the Lord himself will shout. The time when he needs to shout or when he wants to shout over you. Have you ever needed the Lord to shout on your behalf? Sometimes there is such an attack. You know, they say when it rains, it pours. Some of you might not have experienced it this big and this powerful and this heavy, but it can come in life-threatening, continuous levels of incrementing increase against you to destroy you and bring you down and destroy the work of the Lord. For all who become missionaries, especially when you're starting to have an effect where you are, or you're poised to have an effect where you are, it is the plan of the devil to take you out, to disqualify you, either to discourage you to the point where you want to give up or you disbelieve, or to actually come against you with physical violence. And it can come to you in this land. Some of you have gone through some horrific problems this year alone. And when you walk with the Lord, there's a time that's coming when he is going to appear in the middle of the night in your bedroom and he's going to shout. And the resonating intensity of his voice will not only blow the dust off the shelves, it'll blow the spiders and the demons out the windows. I tell you, it's true. In closing, let's look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. For we read here about the thundering voice of the Lord. Excuse me, it's Psalm 29. I'm telling you this because the day will come when it will happen on your behalf. And when it does, do not think that some strange thing happened. This is the Lord God of Israel who comes on behalf of his saints and his servants. And we read in Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Why? Because the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon, it says in some places. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord strikes the deserts. The Lord shakes the deserts of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So here's five times that God's going to speak into your life. If you're his disciple, and you are, if you're his child, and you are, then he's going to speak words of comfort to you. And when you're not prepared, he's going to give you new marching orders and call you and speak the words of go forth, my son, my daughter, for the work that I've called you to. And he's going to speak the word of wisdom to you that settles all questions and brings the peace of God on a daily level into your life. And he's going to lead you with his word, with sparks of fire and tender meanderings into his purpose and his will that will be absolutely amazing. And he's going at some time to shout on your behalf. When the lion roars, watch out, you demon spirits. My Father's bigger than yours. I am proud to say that I come in the name of the Lord, that his power has become mine. The word of the Lord is available to me. So you will not live by one word from God, but you will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every spoken word. Some of you are on a big journey. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to seek the Lord, to find his path for you. But it will come, because he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I lead them in and out, and a stranger they will not follow. We're not for sale, saints. We're people of the Word of God. And the Word of God is appropriate for every turn and every event that we have to face. It's what you live by. It's your precious treasure. Now today I want to pray for you, for the power of the Word of God to be more real in your life, to be more dynamic, to be more frequent, and for you to have the hearing of faith. Please do not become numb to God. Do not become stale. Do not become religious. Amen. Religious person believes in the doctrine but are not being led by the Holy Spirit anymore. Do not be that. He saved you for this relationship, the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. Would you please stand? Would you hold your hands out in front of you and just expect a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit now. Wind of the Holy Spirit, fire of God, sound from heaven. We welcome you. Now would you pray this prayer? Those of you who've prayed it 100 times, pray it one more. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate my life to you. For the hearing of faith. Thank you for the Word of God. For the law and for the doctrines. For the good teachings. But if I don't hear your word, Lord, I will die. Today I open my heart and the hearing of my ears for the hearing of faith. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to me. I welcome your word in my life. Every word that comes from the mouth of God, let it have its work in my life. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray over you. And then those of you who would like special prayer, we're going to invite you to the front. And the prayer team will be up here to pray for you. So I encourage you to come and get additional prayer. But I want to pray over you right now. Keep your hands open still. Please don't repeat, but just receive. Now in the name of Jesus, I stand in agreement with heaven this day for your life, for God's blessings and kindness and goodness to come over you like the waves of the sea. I speak the goodness and kindness of the Lord on your life and on your family. I bless you this day with the blessings promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I release God's provision for you for this day. I speak the word of the Lord to be rich and to be frequent in your life and for you to walk in the path of the Lord. Now I speak blessing over you, over your children, and over all of your descendants. I speak it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.